Salam dear listeners and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu and we are happy as always to share with you one more beautiful bhajan from the yesteryears. This is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Jai 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 Narayana.
So we will now learn this bhajan. Let's get familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on, like in every episode of this program, to the tune, the raga, the beat of the bhajan. And then you will listen to a conversation between Brother Balram Chandran and Brother Mayur Nath Dave. Both of them are singers in Sundaram, Bhagwan's abode in Chennai. Brother Balram Chandran is also an alumnus of Bhagwan's university in Prashantanilayam. Joining them in this conversation will also be a Balvika student, Tejas Sai Krishnamurthy. So you're going to listen to all three of them deliberate on what this bhajan means to them. Of course, there is so much that we can discuss, but probably in 20-25 minutes, they will share whatever struck them first when they heard this bhajan. So let's now begin the session. Here are the lyrics. Pay attention and note them down.
Jai 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 Narayana Govinda Gopala Narayana Mukunda Madhava Narayana Shri Krishna Govinda Narayana Narayana Satya Narayana Narayana Sai Narayana.
Now that you know the lyrics, here is how this bhajan should be sung. Brother Ashwath and Anirudh will now give us a demonstration of the tune.
This bhajan is being set to scale D pancham.
Jai 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 Narayana. Jai 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 Narayana. Jai 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 Narayana. Jai 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 Narayana. Govinda Gopala Narayana. Govinda Gopala Narayana. Govinda Gopala Narayana. Govinda Gopala Narayana. Mukunda Madhava Narayana. Mukunda Madhava Narayana. Mukunda Madhava Narayana. Mukunda Madhava Narayana. Shri Krishna Govinda Narayana. Shri Krishna Govinda Narayana. Shri Krishna Govinda Narayana. Shri Krishna Govinda Narayana. Narayana Satya Narayana. Narayana Satya Narayana. Narayana Sai Narayana. Narayana Sai Narayana. Jai 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 Narayana.
So that's another very simple, melodious bhajan from the yesteryears. Brother Ashwath and Brother Anirudh now brought it back into our times. In fact, many of the very senior alumni of Bhagwan's institutions who are now working in his school, in his colleges, when they hear this bhajan, they fondly remember Bhagwan enjoying the boy singing these bhajans in those days in the 80s and probably early 90s. So with Bhagwan's grace, we are happy that we are bringing back this bhajan into our hearts, into our homes. So let us spend some more time ruminating on the makeup of the bhajan. Anirudh is here with us to share his thoughts. So what is the raga of this bhajan, Anirudh?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
This beautiful bhajan is based on rag Mohanam or Bhopali in the Hindustani classical music. I think it's a very famous, it's a very well-known raga that needless to say, there are many compositions, bhajans, in fact, many vintage bhajans in Mohanam. Just to brush the raga once again, the notes of this raga are Sa Re Shudri Ga Shudga Pa Dha Shudha Sa Dha Pa Ga Re Sa. So there are five notes in this raga. As you would have seen, Sa Re Ga Pa Da Sa Sa Da Pa Ga Pa Re Sa Da Re Sa. Shri Rama Charanam Shri Rama Charanam Shri Rama Charanam Bhaje जय जय देवी गिरिजा माता राम राम जय रघुकुल तिलका जय शंकरा भावगोचरा शिव चिदंबरा In fact, one more vintage bhajan. Mohan Raghurama Ati Sundar Shri Rama.
Yeah, absolutely. You have so many bhajans in this raga. A bright raga, all major notes, isn't it?
Yes.
Why don't we have a alap?
Okay.
Hari Ah, 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 ah.
Beautiful. I think when people, when singers practice these bhajans in their homes, now that we know the raga, possibly what one could do is spend some time in the ragas, try and do an alap, or just do the aro-avro of the raga and, you know, spend some time in the notes of the raga before attempting the bhajan, isn't it?
Yes. Or one more way to start is sing the bhajan slowly.
Yes.
Correct. So that helps a lot. That gives a more way of elaborating the bhajan.
Clarity.
Clarity.
Yes.
And the control over each syllable.
Correct.
Suppose you take, for example,
Chandra Kala Dhara Samba Sada Shiva Shambhu Mahadeva.
So this exercise really helps us to stand on each note so perfectly, and we'll also know where we are.
Correct.
Making, like, suppose if you're running out of breath.
Correct.
Or the note in which, like, one syllable and the next syllable. It's like
Shambho Mahadeva,
De and Va. Am I hitting the same note properly?
Correct.
So all these questions will be answered, I think, once we start singing the bhajan slowly.
Actually, absolutely. Many times when we sing, perhaps there are various areas in the bhajan where we are not clear about what we are singing. You know, we just go with the flow.
Yes.
But between two words, or, you know, we just manage to sing it.
Yes.
But actually, we have not touched every note that has to be touched when you render that particular line.
As I said, the transition also, the between the two syllables.
Yes.
When we sing off the bhajan in a session, we just sing off because we just sing because we have many instrument support.
Correct.
And in that you may not know what, through which notes you are actually singing.
Correct.
So, but when you really break up the bhajan slowly.
Correct. Yes.
And then that's when you realize, oh, how do I.
Correct.
Whether my transition is smooth, like in this bhajan.
Yes.
Jai 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 Narayana.
This, there is a glide in Narayana.
Narara Ga Sa.
So it is from Ga to Sa. There is a glide. So we can practice this.
Correct. So when, once you sing slowly, then all these
nuances
will come up.
Yes.
You'll also know the areas where you're unclear.
Yes.
Narayana.
Suppose if you give the glide wrongly, then I think it won't be as nice as the original tune of the bhajan.
Absolutely. And I think now that we are giving the swaras, that only helps to know exactly where every word of the bhajan stands.
Yes. In fact, I remember when we had the metronome, or the small tempo kind of a sound along with the lyrics tune, that is when we learn the bhajan. Often what happens is the clarity of each word.
Yes.
I feel that it'll be more when you don't have the beat first and learn the tune.
Correct.
And then next sing the bhajan.
Once you've got the clarity of every note.
Yes, yes.
Then, you know, then it be, whatever faster speed you sing, also you will sing in tune.
Yes, yes.
You learn it to sing it the fast way, then whatever faults are there, whatever areas of lack of clarity is there, they continue to remain.
Yes,
and they get
lost
in the speed and the beat and everything. Yes. So let's do the swaras.
Yes. So the first line.
Jai 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 Narayana Sa Ga Pa Da Pa Ga Sa Ga Pa
Sa Ga Pa Da Pa Ga Sa Ga Pa
Govinda Gopala Narayana Da 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 Pa Pa Ga 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 Ri Sa Da Sa
Da 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 pa pa ga 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 re sa da sa
Mukunda Madhava
I guess the beat is the usual beat, right?
Yes, the beat of this version is 8-beat. Aditalam or Kaherva in the classical music. Let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Jai, 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 Narayana. Jai, Jai, Jai.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So with that, we are done with the technicalities of the bhajan. And now it's time to ruminate on the words of the bhajan, on the feeling behind this bhajan. And offering you in this episode, this bhava session, our two brothers from Bhagwan's abode in Chennai, Sundaram, brothers Balram Chandran and brother Mayurnath Dave. Brother Balram Chandran is also a former student of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and had the privilege of singing in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan during his student years in Prashantanilayam. Joining both of them is also a Balvika student from Chennai, Tejas Sai Krishnamurti. So enjoy this conversation on this bhajan.
Om Shri Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, brother.
Very happy to have Brother Mayur and Brother Tejas Sai Krishnamurti in one, you know, in yet another session of the Bhajan Tutor. One more vintage Bhajan today. Jai 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 Narayana, Govinda Gopala Narayana, Mukunda Madhava Narayana, Shri Krishna Govinda Narayana, Narayana Satya Narayana, and predictably like a lot of these Bhajans, Narayana Sai Narayana. I think they keep the best for the last. So let's start, since we've got a Balavikas boy on this, you know, discussion panel today. Let's start with a small quiz question for him. Correct, Brother Mayur, what say?
Absolutely.
So let's see how much he's focused on his group 3 classes. So Swami keeps talking about this. Narayana is an expansion of two things, brother. You heard about this? Swami keeps saying Narayana is equal to dash plus dash. And it's okay to get the answer wrong. You heard of this? So Swami keeps saying this. He keeps saying Narayana is equals a combination of two words. Naram plus Ayanam. So Naram as in water and Ayanam as in eye. And in fact, I picked on this word because the word Narayana is the common, you know, denominator. It keeps coming in every single line of this bhajan. I've heard Swami say that the real tears, because Naram is water, and since it's mentioned in combination with the I, it stands for tears, not just ordinary water, but tears. And again, when you talk of tears, you talk of tears of sorrow and tears of joy. Mm-hmm. And Swami would tell us that the real tears that we shed, or the tears really worth shedding, are the ones which we shed for the Lord. So Naram plus Ayanam is Narayana. So I've heard Swami say this a lot of times. In fact, they say the end purpose of any bhajan, you've sung a bhajan well, I think when the tears of joy well up in the eye. Most importantly in your eyes, and then I think as a byproduct in the eyes of the listeners. I've normally managed the opposite of tears of sorrow coming out. I remember once Swami, it was not a bhajan session, but it was one of those, Vedam chanting sessions we had before Bhagwan. It was one of those festivals in Prashanthi Nilayam, and before Swami's discourse, we would be given an opportunity to chant the Vedam. So it so happened that we didn't start. You know, the group, each one started in a different Shruti, and it was total cacophony to say the least. So I remember after that we had gone to take Swami's Namaskar. In one word, Swami summed up how our performance was. He says, "Idi Vedam kadu, idi Vedana." He said, "This is not Vedam, but it's pain." You know, not those kind of tears when pain occurs, but the tears of joy which occur on the contemplation of the Lord. So brother, what comes to your mind when you hear this bhajan?
So, when you're talking about the tears of joy.
Yeah.
So, we generally, from a music point of view, when we listen to a very beautiful concert,
mm-hmm.
When the, you know, there's a lot of spirituality involved in music, which is the by-form, by-product of, to be very precise, it says the Upaveda of the Samaveda.
Yeah.
Sangeetam is the Upaveda of Samaveda.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big sadhana in itself,
mm-hmm.
which can reveal the cosmic being from within.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the cosmic being within comes and joins,
mm-hmm.
Merges with the cosmic being around mm-hmm. you outside. Mm-hmm. So when there are certain instances where in a concert where the main artist or the mm-hmm. singer, mm-hmm. for example,
mm-hmm.
is completely merged,
mm-hmm.
and is one with himself,
mm-hmm.
completely connected inside,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you see that reflecting in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So you were just talking about how, you just start, tears start flowing, and it happens with the listeners, the devotees as well.
Mm-hmm.
That happens very much in concerts as well, when
mm-hmm.
when the main artist is completely connected,
mm-hmm.
and the... of course, the listeners
mm-hmm.
may not be devotees in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not an applause-oriented concert.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely no applause. It is mm-hmm. just tears of joy,
mm-hmm.
and which is unmatchable,
mm-hmm.
absolutely beyond comprehension. Where you have actually connected with the audience, not with the intellect or the intellectual music there. Because you are connected inside and you have started tearing up.
So it's not even the talent or the skill at
display. Absolutely. The talent is just probably a mode of communication or an expression. But the more you're connected inside, the artist as well as the audience, they just tear up.
Absolutely. Have you experienced those moments in your own bhajan singing? Is there anything which comes to mind?
A lot of bhajan sessions where we've heard a few... and of course, bhajans in the mandir in Prashanthi Nilayam or any center for that matter. A lot of such instances where we feel that oneness. It's not about how beautiful that bhajan is, how melodic the bhajan is, how well the person has sung. Or how well people have followed, or how well the performance, the accompaniments are sounding. I think there's a lot of oneness that happens when you actually see a lot of eyes, moist eyes around you. And that oneness is what I think obviously will make Swami also happy. Because he's actually at the end of the day talking about a mass prayer and a mass gathering. And
yeah.
You know, the vibration is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine... so many of them with
mm-hmm.
tearful eyes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a very different experience.
And Samay also says, bliss is my food. So one of those sessions where...
He thrives on that.
And to think of those sessions where he's totally bereft of that and he goes, you know, comes to a bhajan session and goes back starving.
Brother, I'm sure you'll remember one of our conversations like this earlier, huh. One of the bhajans we were talking about. Huh. So I was also mentioning about the entire journey of you don't know where that sound is coming from.
Yeah.
And you don't know where the sound is going towards.
Yeah.
And suddenly absolute silence.
Hmm.
So a lot of bhajans where we feel this. So that's, I think those are the moments when you really start tearing up. You know, so you don't know how the sound emanates, where the sound emanates from. And you're just an instrument, like what Tyagaraja Swami says.
Mm-hmm.
Nabhi hrit kantha rasana, he says. Mm-hmm. So it is the so-called nabhi that it is coming out of.
Mm-hmm.
But where exactly inside the nabhi, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just an instrument for it to pass through.
Mm-hmm.
In that journey, you're actually mm-hmm. experiencing the divine. Whereas for the Supreme Being, it's not coming out of somewhere and going towards
mm-hmm.
a particular place. It mm-hmm. is just traversing through you for you to experience it.
Absolutely.
That's the very beauty of...
Because you know, from his perspective, he is the origin and the source.
Absolutely.
You know, the recipient.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Like what they say in Tamil, Adi illa, Andam illa.
Absolutely.
So without beginning, neither the beginning nor the end.
Yeah, but you have an artificial concept of a singer and a listener. It's almost like, you know, I separated myself from myself to love myself. It's almost like he is singing his own glory. And I think the Sai Sacharita, I think Hemant Pant talks about how Lord Sai himself, through Hemant Pant, is singing his own story. So I think he mentions that. So I think that's true for everybody. And I think when that realization comes and that connect with the Lord comes is when a symptom of that is, I think, the tears which well up in the eyes.
Absolutely.
One thing I've heard a lot of people say is, again, a very practical point. And in fact, since there's Balavika's boy here, it'll be interesting to explore this point. Two thoughts. One is, you say that, you know, when you talk of tears of joy, it's somewhere very closely linked to you feeling that bhavam and you feeling that love for that Lord. No, the intense sense of love at that moment when you're singing the bhajan. You may be doing the lead singing or the follow, either way. I've heard some people say that, you know, you can't really get this bhavam in unless you have struggled and faced those difficult moments in life when you got thrashed, hit by life, and then, you know, and then you're in front of that form which is love and love alone, and then automatically, you know, that love you know, fills your heart and expresses itself as, I think, tears of joy. But the same logic I've also heard people say that it is difficult for Balavika's children because they have not seen life, you know. So since we've got a brother here who's from Balavika's, let's try and test this hypothesis. So brother, have you had situations where, you know, you've sung a bhajan, you feel very close to Swami, you feel lots of love in your heart? You know, you can make out those days when you've just sung, and you can make out those days where you feel that you're really, really connected with him. So, have you had your moments? We are trying to test this theory here.
So, I was practicing Brahmandanayaka.
Okay.
I first heard this by Ravi Kumar uncle when he was 13 years old.
Mm.
So, I heard that bhajan and it was very close to my heart.
Okay, that's possibly your age.
Yeah, that was... And actually, I've heard Anna's Dina Bandava Baba and your Buddha Mahavir. So I was very much interested in all these three bhajans. Mm-hmm. But to me, Brahmandanayaka came quite fluently.
Absolutely.
So,
in fact, to us too.
So I kept practicing that, but I got some remarks that my Hindi, because I don't know Hindi or Sanskrit,
mm-hmm.
I got a remark that my Hindi is not that good. So mm-hmm. probably change the bhajan or improve the bhajan. So mm-hmm. I thought, Swami also, like, I've heard that Swami has heard that bhajan so many times,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like singing that song to Swami at least once,
mm-hmm.
Quite publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept practicing,
mm-hmm.
and a few months ago or a few weeks ago, I went to actually the United States,
mm-hmm.
and there I could feel so much bhavam,
mm-hmm.
and when I was singing, I could see Swami in front of me.
Lovely.
So I improvised on Ayodhya Nagari.
Mm-hmm.
Ayodhya Nagari tumne banai, Dwaraka Nagari tumne banai. So that improvisation came more and more after I practiced more and more. So it is not that you don't get the bhajan, or if you don't know that bhajan, you don't get it. You just need more practice, and immediately you will get the bhavam after more and more practice.
So one very important thing that he's saying, and this is possibly something which not just Balavikas children, but I think all of us need to remind ourselves. He's saying for that bhavam to get manifested, it becomes important to practice so that, you know, like you don't become an obstacle for that bhavam to express, you know,
true,
itself. I think that is an enabler. Practice. I think it's a very practical point. Thank you, brother, for sharing this. So, yeah, I think that's true, because I think if you're preoccupied with the effort of having to deliver the tune and the words correctly, then there's no, you know, it's not really, becomes difficult to kind of express, you know, the bhavam aspect of it. But I also remember Swami once telling us in the hostel when he visited the Sri Satya Sai hostel in Prashanthi Nilayam for the, you know, college boys. This was during my post-graduation days. So during his discourse, Swami addressed a specific portion of the discourse to the bhajan boys. In fact, he said bhajan boys. I don't remember whether he said bhajan boys or music boys. He said one of this. So at least in my in my years with Swami, I never remember a discourse where he specifically marked out. He would say Vidyarthulara, he would say Divyatma Swarupulara, but he specifically said music boys or bhajan boys, one of these. And then he said that if you focus on the bhavam, I guarantee, the word is I guarantee, I guarantee that the ragam and talam will fall in place. So he said that, and I think, yeah, when you have the mix of all three, you think you have bhavam as the foundation, and then backed by a beautiful, or rather, a beautiful tune and talam, which is backed by bhavam, I think that's when the tears of joy flow forth. So that is very nice. One more word which, you know, one of those, I was looking at the, you know, words in the bhajan. Amongst the words which are there, I think one name of the Lord which is relatively unexplored so far, at least in our conversations, is the word Mukunda. So, you know, we were just Googling before we began this conversation to figure out what that word means. And like it is typically in Sanskrit, the word seems to have multiple meanings. One of them, of course, is a jewel, you know, a precious stone. So Mukunda means a precious stone, and that the Lord definitely is. Possibly more precious than any precious stone. One more interesting meaning is freedom giver, you know. Possibly comes from the word Mukunda, Mukti. I don't know what the origin or the etymology there is, but I think, you know, the one who gives freedom. So there's one, a beautiful episode which comes to mind, brother. I think in the context of this bhajan, it may be worth, you know, recounting it. This happened with one of those students who, I think, spent his entire academic career at Swami's lotus feet, right from, I think, from the first standard right up to graduation and then post-graduation, which means you're talking about, what, 12 plus 3 plus 15 plus another 17 years. You know, from a childhood perspective, the best years of your life are actually spent at his lotus feet. Now, what had happened is he'd found that, and he'd made the choice not to, you know, go to one of those IITs or one of the bigger colleges. And he decided that he will, you know, be with Swami in Bhagwan's presence and be part of Swami's educational institution, where, of course, there's quality education. But then, you know, education is for life and not for a living. So, for example, the focus is not placements. So what had happened is that he had found that a lot of his friends who had, not been part of Swami's college had gone to other colleges. Many of his cousins, relatives were doing very well from a career perspective. So he felt that he had lost out on that bit. Now, on the other hand, okay, you're with Swami, so you would hope that, okay, from a worldly point of view, you're not done well. But from a spiritual point of view also, he felt that he had not progressed. So he felt that either way, it was a lose-lose situation for him. Neither did I do from a worldly point of view or from a spiritual point of view. And for example, he felt that if you look at spirituality, the highest state is moksha. And he felt he was nowhere near moksha, you know, the eternal freedom from the cycle of, you know, birth and death. So I still remember this. He approached one of our professors who taught him, who in fact still serves in Swami's college there. and had this debate with him, saying, "Sir, I think I've lost out in life. I've lost out the, you know, Iha and Para both." No, he kept on arguing, and the teacher tried to convince him, saying, "No, I mean, you have grown spiritually. It has to happen. You're in the Lord's presence, and it'll definitely happen. And, you know, you are far, far more closer to moksha than possibly a lot of other people. You're more evolved." But, you know, all this didn't kind of convince him. So what happens is, the next day, just as the teacher is about to enter a class, this boy comes running again with a lot of excitement and says, "Sir, I want to share something. I want to discuss something." By now, the teacher knows that this fellow starts off on this topic of moksha. It's going to take a long time. And he says, "Brother, there's no time now. We'll talk about it later." He says, "Sir, I'll just take a couple of minutes." And then he shares a beautiful dream. So the dream that he shares is that, you know, if I remember correctly, he is, this boy goes to the dispensary in the hostel where he's got some ailment. And he finds that in the place of the doctor, you know, it is Swami himself sitting. And this teacher with whom he discussed is a person who is to assist in the dispensary. So he is there by the side. So what Swami does is, I think Swami examines him, if I remember the episode correctly, and then writes down something on the prescription and then shows it to this teacher, who has got a startled expression on his face. And very casually just throws this paper at this boy. And this boy picks up, and you know what is written there? It says, "Self-realized." He certified this boy as self-realized. Almost say, moksha is something which I can just, you know, kind of throw at you. Like I throw a toffee. You know, in the Lalita Sahasranama talks, it describes the Divine Mother as Janma Mrityu Jara Tapta Jana Vishranti Daimi. As the Divine Mother who actually gives eternal rest and freedom from the cycle of birth and death to all the beings who are caught in the suffering of the cycle of birth and death. So Mukunda, you know, the one who grants eternal freedom. So of all those names, there's one thing which caught my attention. But I think, yes, here we are talking about freedom of the highest kind. But I think it's freedom from a lot of other things also. For example, if you speak about it, brother, in the context of a bhajan singer, it's even freedom from the feeling that I'm the singer. It's freedom from the feeling that I'm actually, what is, you know, what are other people thinking about my bhajans? Have you found that easy? I mean, I found that
freedom from the very effort that you have to be on Shruti.
Oh, absolutely.
On Talam. And absolutely. Remember the lyrics and so many other things.
Oh, yes.
That we are always very, very cautious and conscious about.
Yeah, remembering the lyrics and, you know, Shruti is a major freedom. If one were to kind of achieve that, that is real, real freedom. But have you found that easy in your experience, brother?
I think like what our little brother also shared, so many times that you practice and then it starts flowing. So there's a very beautiful ideology behind it. So I think so generally I've heard that you should be practicing something for more than 100 times.
Yeah, Swami has said this.
Swami has said this.
Yes.
So the first few times it is more to concentrate on the very structure of the
correct
of the song, and then the next few times you start embellishing.
Yeah,
you start decorating that with a lot of
there's
a lot of beauty coming out of the song. I think towards the end or beyond 100 is when you are absolutely not conscious, absolutely not cognizant of the other aspects which are the basic fundamentals, I would say.
Yeah, the technical aspects.
The technical aspects.
Yeah.
Where you are not concentrating on that because you have worked for it.
Yeah.
And you have put in your efforts and you have set them right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So after that is which you are absolutely not connected to that, and you have real time for you to connect to yourself.
Absolutely.
For you to connect internally. I think that's when the bhava comes out.
Yeah.
The very expression of the bhava is only when you are actually connected within.
Absolutely. But, you know, one point, brother, which comes to mind is, again, the hundred formula which Swami gives, absolutely right. And I've also seen, again, I think the intent becomes important because, so there are times when you practice a bhajan very hard, but somewhere while practicing this bhajan very hard, the intent in the mind is to sing it so well that the listener is impressed.
Mm.
You know, then it's a totally different story. So the 100 works, you know, very differently. So I remember one of our brothers who, you know, is part of the Mandir Bhajan group sharing this beautiful episode where he's, there was a particular bhajan in Darbari, which those common bhajans of Shiva, which, you know, where, you know, typically in Darbari bhajan, your bass becomes very important. The lower octave mm-hmm. notes become very important. And he was blessed with that wonderful sonorous voice, you know, which would sound wonderful, especially in the bow speakers, which are there in the mandir. So he was, you know, practicing that real hard. In fact, he admitted this. Practicing the real hard so that he can make that wonderful impact. But he was sharing this mind-blowing thing, brother, that when he actually came, and he had practiced this possibly 100 plus times, he sings the line, he sings that bhajan. But you know, his ace line was that line which goes low, where he can show his the full potential of his bass singing and the fruits of his practice. But you know the interesting thing, brother, when he sang that bhajan that day, he forgot to sing that line in the first beat. And everybody was kind of stunned. Now you can't miss that line, so it's not an optional line. You know, it's part of the bhajan, and the bhajan is in fact musically, even from a tune perspective, incomplete. Even from a, you know, from a note progression perspective, I think incomplete mm-hmm. without that particular. Now, first bhajan, now you can get it wrong. He forgets the second at the second speed. He realized he's unable to sing that particular line. I mean, that is amazing. I think a wonderful lesson of the Lord. You know, because if you look at the code of conduct or guidelines for bhajan singers, one of them, and I found that, you know, practically, I must confess, the most difficult thing to follow. I think Swami advises that when you sing, do not keep an eye on the impact that your bhajan makes on the listener. And that, my God, is the biggest headache I've had. Because, you know, it's a simple thing like, am I singing on Shruti? If I'm, and, you know, sometimes I've found that I tend to rationalize it by saying that, you know, I want to sing on Shruti so that I don't disturb the devotee. But I know heart of hearts, that's not the reason. The real reason is that I don't want to, you know, what will people think about me if I sing a particular note out? You know, Shruti out. So, very nicely said. I think freedom from the, you know, the labor or the very process of conscious singing. It's not just freedom in the highest sense. It is freedom in the highest sense also, but freedom in also. So, if I were to summarize and put all this together, again, combining points from what our little brother said, I think the key lies, the ultimate objective is to sing in such a manner that you please the Lord within and you express the joy of experiencing Him within. And the visible manifestation of that us is Naram plus Ayanam, the tears of joy. But I think to accomplish that is a process which requires, you know, a lot of conscious effort. And so let me recollect those points with both of you shared. One, I think you talked about the 100 formula, you know, repeating the bhajan 100 times. Two, learning from the experience of our brother who couldn't sing that bass line in, you know, in Prashanti Mandir. It's about not just practicing 100 times, but practicing 100 times solely with the intention of being able to connect with the Lord and focus on Him while you actually sing the bhajan. And I think a combination of these two, plus also a lot of troubles of the world thrown in, and with the realization that, you know, He is the only friend we ever had, we'll ever have. You know, that special moment you really feel you love Him. If you're able to, I think, couch that feeling into the lines that you sing, I think the tears come out. Like once Swami spoke about Meera and said, Tab aayega tears. You know, then you'll have that. And then I think it becomes bhajan in the real sense. Wonderful talking to you once again, brothers. Thanks for sharing these thoughts. Again, I hope we someday by His grace, you know, reach the level where we, our eyes are filled with tears of joy each time we sing His name.
Very true. Must be the most sincere prayers all the time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, brothers. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Balram Chandran, Brother Mayurnath Dave, and the Balvika student Tejas Sai Krishnamurti. And this was recorded in Sundaram, Bhagwan's abode in Chennai. With that, we move on to the last lap of this session. You will now listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan.
Jai 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 Narayana,
Jai Jai Narayana. jai Narayana.
Us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.